All right, morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah, Samech Vav. We started the Mishnah in the Gemara yesterday, but what we're going to start to do today is we're going to start again from the Mishnah and get ourselves once again reacquainted with the sugya. The Mishnah begins Yayin Nesach Shenafal Gabei Navim. So if Yayin Nesach falls on top of grapes, so Yidichem Ve'Mutarver. So the Mishnah says it's fine. In other words, the grapes have skins around them. And it creates a seal. And let's, for our purposes, make this really simple. Let's say it's an impenetrable seal, and that there's no actual wine that's infused into the grapes itself. And so basically, it's a superficial layer of wine on top of the grapes. So the Mishnah says, so you rinse the grapes, and everything is good. The grapes are edible. The im hayu mivuka osasurus, and then the Mishnah makes a contrast, and that is if the grapes have cracks in them, if the skins on the grapes have cracks in them, and then that means that the wine now is infused into the grapes. So then the grapes now infuse with the taste of yain nesach. So therefore it's going to be also. Nafal gabi ta'inim or al gabi tamarim. So let's say the wine were to fall on either figs or on dates. Im yesh menos in tam asur. So if it creates in the sinas tam, if it creates an infusion of taste, it's going to be asur. And then the Gemara tells, and the Mishnah tells the following story. Maisa bebaitos ben zunan. Shehevi grogros bisfina. There was a figs being transported on a boat. Vinishtabru chavishal yain esach. And on the same boat there was yain esach. And that barrel broke. Vinafa al gabehem. Wine, yain esach wine now falls onto the figs on this boat. Vishalach chachamim vitiru. And they asked the Chachamim, what do we do? And the Chachamim said that it's mutter, it would be fine. Zaklal. And then the Mishnah follows it up with a general rule. Kol shebahanasim anav sein tam asur. If the taste that's infused is a taste of hana'ah, if it's a beneficial taste, so then it's going to be asur. Kol shebahanasim anav sein tam mutter. And if the taste that's infused is not a beneficial taste, so then it's going to be mutter kigon. And an example that we just gave is chomet shenaf al gabi grisim, vinegar falling on beans. Vinegar falling on beans is not a beneficial taste. It's what in halacha is referred to as nosin tam levgam, and therefore it is going to be mutter. It'll be permitted. So basically what the Mishnah here is introducing us, certainly at the end of the Mishnah, is the concept of nosin tam levgam. Meaning that if I have a combination of foods, but the combination does not make the food better, in fact just the opposite. It's detrimental to the food. It's detrimental to the flavor of the food. So then that which I introduced, even if it is usur, is not going to host to the food, and this is the principle, this is the concept of nosin tam levgam. Okay.
Why didn't they give the example? Why did they give a new example? There's an example right there.
Right, right. Very good, very good. All right. Phil's asking that if the Mishnah already is telling us wine and dates, and wine and figs is considered nosin tam levgam, so the Mishnah at the end is giving us another example of nosin tam levgam, and why is the Mishnah has to, in other words, it says if the Mishnah has to illustrate, oh, here's a good example. What do you mean? We're already talking about a good example. I suggested yesterday chometz al gabi grisin is something which was kind of like universally understood, right? Everybody knows that you put vinegar on beans, you basically are ruining the beans.
No,
okay.
They're talking probably about cooking.
Okay, could
you introduce them?
Could be. All right, that's certainly a possibility. In any event, so the beginning of the Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah seem to be at odds with one another, because the beginning of the Mishnah talks about how if I have yain esach that falls on grapes, so if there are no cracks in the grapes, it's mutter, but if there are cracks in the grape, it's going to be ulcer, and then yain esach falls on dates and figs, and the Mishnah says, oh, that's fine. Meaning, or at least in the incident where it happened on the boat, it was fine. What does that mean, it was fine? Maisa listora. So the Gemara says, well, the story that was reported in the Mishnah doesn't seem to be going in accordance with the beginning of the Mishnah. Chesurim echzavachi ketan. The Gemara says, yeah, but there is a missing piece of the Mishnah, a link, linking the first part of the Mishnah to the incident. And once we get this missing piece, so then we'll totally understand. Inosin tam levgam hu mutter. Ah, the Mishnah is really segueing into the point of nosin tam levgam. Meaning that if the taste that's being introduced into the food is detrimental to the food, so this is the principle of nosin tam levgam, and under those circumstances, it's going to be mutter. Umaisa nami, and now the story flows beautifully from that point. And now you understand the story. Meaning once you know the principle of nosin tam levgam, now that the wine falls on dates and figs, and we all know, and I say we all know, by the way, it's not like I introduce wines to my dates and figs on a regular basis. I don't even do it in an irregular basis. But assuming that it is detrimental to either the grapes. If it's detrimental to either the figs or the dates, where if I introduce wine onto them, it doesn't make it better. In fact, it makes it worse. So this is what's called nosen tam avgam. And under the circumstance of nosen tam avgam, if the taste that is introduced is only making your food inferior, not superior, so then it's mutter. Under those circumstances, it's going to be permitted. How kari dechita dafa ala chavita deyayin esach. So there was these grains of wheat, in which yayin esach falls on these grains of wheat. Shari rav lezvun alav dikochavim. So Rabbi says, okay, even though now it's infused with the taste of the yayin esach, so the but what he allowed to do is he allowed to have it sold to the goyim. So Eisvei Rava Bar Leva La Rava. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How could that be? In other words, how could you allow its sale? Begish Ava Bo Kalaim Harizelo Imkar and Lovi Kochavim Velo Yasin Amar Dalsa Chamor Ava Oso So Tachrin Lameis Mitzvah. Let's say you have a garment. Now we know that by garments, you can make your garments out of wool, you can make your garments out of linen, but you can't combine the two. A garment cannot be made out of wool and linen. That's the Yisur in the Torah of what's called chatnis. So let's say you have a garment, it's wool and linen, and you know there's a thread of linen going through this garment of wool, or the converse also would be true. There's a thread of wool going through a garment of linen, but you know it's there, but you can't find it. Right? Begit she'avad bo kalayim. So you kind of lost the kalayim. You know the kalayim's there, but you lost it. You don't know where you don't know where to locate it. So basically, but you know the begit is chatnis. So what can you do with this begit? Well, here's what you can't do. You can't sell it to a guy. You can't use it as a saddle for your donkey, even though the saddle for the donkey is meant for sitting. But there's a concern that you're going to end up repurposing it for some sort of garment. And avaloso, so tachrichin le mace mitzvah. But what you can do is you can use it for tachrichin, meaning a mace is not chayv in mitzvah. So we'll discuss more of that in just a moment. So you can use it for a mace mitzvah. So the oviko chava my time alone. Now, why can't you sell it to a guy? So you have a beggar of shanis in. And the first thing you can't do is you can't sell it to a guy. Why not? Meaning what is he going to do with it? He'll wear it. There's no issur for him to wear. What's the big deal? The Gemara says the big deal is dema asil is vunli Yisrael. Hachanami asil is vunli Yisrael. So the reason why you can't sell it to a guy is because the guy's going to turn around and sell it to another Jew. And the second buyer, the unsuspecting Jew who's going to be buying this garment, is going to be buying shanis. And basically what you're doing is you're introducing into the marketplace issur, which is probably going to then get turned around and being sold to a Jew. And so, let's call it Lifnei Iver, however you want to say it. You're going to be putting Isser into the market, which will then get turned around and being sold to another Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's discuss over here. So we have Yayin Nesach that falls onto the wheat kernels. So what did you say? You could sell it to a non-Jew. Sell it to a non-Jew? Well, he's going to turn around, take the wheat kernels and sell it to another Jew. And so basically, you are putting Isser into the market. So Hadar Share, so when Ravi hears this, Ravi says, you know what, you're right. You're right. It's a very good point. So Share lemitchinu, ulemifinu, ulezvoninu lov de kocham shalob ifne Yisrael. So under the circumstances where the Ayin Esach falls on wheat kernels, and why don't we just simply rinse the wheat kernels? The Gemara is going to ask that question in just a moment. But it falls onto the wheat kernels, and now it's infused with the taste of the Ayin Esach. And so and even if it's nosen tam avgam, we're not gonna consume it. So we're gonna sell it to a guy. You are allowed to get hanah from it. So you'll sell it to a guy. So aren't we worried that the guy is gonna then turn around and sell it to another Jew, an unsuspecting Jew? So the Gemara says no, because what Rava then said is, here's what you'll do: you'll grind it up, you'll make bread out of it, and then you'll sell it to a guy. Now this all gets very complicated because it's infused with the Ayin Esach. Where are you baking it? It's got tam iser in it, but if we could just, the main point of the Gemara now is that once it's baked into bread and once it's sold to a non-Jew, so now you're good. Because you were allowed to get benefit from it, you did in fact sell it to a non-Jew. Why aren't we worried that the non-Jew is going to sell back to a Jew? Because it's bread. The answer is because it's bread. And we know that you're not allowed to buy bread from a non-Jew. In other words, that's paspalter. All right, bread baked from a non-Jew, you're not allowed to buy. Now, granted, by the way, earlier in the Gemara talked about a number of heterim. There are leniencies when you are, in fact, allowed to purchase bread from a non-Jew, but let's keep this nice and simple. Let's say you're not allowed to buy bread from a non-Jew, and as a result of that, there is no longer concern that the bread is going to get resold back to a Jew. Now, let's just wrap up the Gemara over here, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss just a couple of points that we quickly covered earlier. Tanan, we learned on a Mishnah Yain, Esuch Shenafal Gabay Navi, Yedichen Vehim Mutarim, Vimayim Vukam Asuros. So the Mishnah taught us about Yain Esuch falling onto grapes. If the skins are nice and closed and there are no cracks in the skin, rinse off the grapes and you're good to go. If the skins have cracks in them, and that means that the Yain Esuch is infused into the grape itself, so then it's Asur. So Mivukas Inshe Mivukas Lo. The Mishnah clearly says that as long as the grapes are not cracked, so then you're okay, you rinse them off. Why, when the wine falls on the wheat kernel, do we not just simply say rinse it off? So the Gemara says, you know, every wheat kernel has a crack in the wheat kernel. It's the very nature of a wheat kernel is that it has a crack running through. So since it has a crack running through, it is considered like it is open, meaning it is porous. And therefore, when the wine falls on the wheat kernel, it's as if it now is infused into the wheat kernel, and that's why you have no choice but to sell it to a non-Jew. You can't just simply rinse it off, and it would be okay. Okay. All right. That is the end of the Gemara over here. So what we have learned so far is the principle of nosin tam levgam. If the taste that's introduced is a taste that is not making it superior, it's not improving the food, but it's rather detracting from it, so then the taste that is imparted is not halachically a significant taste. And this is the principle, this is the concept of nosin tam levgam. In the course of the Gemara brought in the case of the wheat kernel, where the wine falls onto the wheat kernel, and the Gemara says, how could you sell it to a non-Jew? You know, if you have kalayim, you can't sell it to a non-Jew, for fear that he may sell it to a Jew. But rather, what do you do with it? You make it tachrichin for a meis mitzvah. Tachrichin for a meis mitzvah. So Tosfos points out over here, the second to last Tosfos on the Amud, Ava osin osa tachrich lemeis mitzvah v'hu adim b'lo avan. Now the truth of the matter, says Tosfos, is that if you have shatnez, you even if you know exactly where the shatnez is, meaning you know shatnez, and you can easily identify and take out the wool or take out the linen, still as shatnez, you could use it too as for death shrouds, for tachrich and for the mace. Kedinam b'maseches klaim shei basically im tomer ha'ika loig l'rush kedamrin agabit sisus perikat chelus. So here Tosfos asked the question. Tosfos asked the question here, and in Masechta Nida, and this is a popular discussion, and that is as follows. We know there's a principle when it comes to a mace of what's called loig l'rush. Loig l'rush literally means that you're making fun of somebody who's poor. When a person dies, so unfortunately he no longer is in a position where he can do mitzvos. So now what are you going to do? You're going to do mitzvos around the individual who's no longer able to do mitzvos. So you're making him. You're mocking, making fun of him. The Gemara says that when you walk into a basic kvaro, so what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to tuck in your tzitzis. Your tzitzis are out while you're walking through the basic kvaros. You're basically making fun of him. In other words, you're mocking him that, hey, we could do mitzvos, and you can't do mitzvos. So, over here, putting him in tachrichin that are made up of shatnez, that's not loig l'rush, that's not making fun of him, Tosfos is bothered by that question. Vayishayta vada remin aluhu mishum loig l'rush perish. And the Gemara says that actually when you bury him, make sure to put tzitzis on him, he's not chayav in mitzvos. The Gemara says, yeah, but you're loig l'rush. You may make fun of him otherwise. So Tosfos gives a suggested answer, is that, well, you know, tzitzis is really important. And tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvos, right? You both see that just from the pasuk itself, and also the Rashi that we're all familiar with, that numerically tzitzis comes out to 613. You know, you know the numerology. That's great. If you don't, see Rashi over there in the Chumash. But anyway, tzitzis are really important. So in other words, in general, there's no real. In other words, in this answer of Tosfos, there's no real concern of loig l'rush as it relates to a mace. Why do we put on tzitzis on the mace himself before, right before burial? So we do so because tzitzis is really important to shkula keneged kol mitzvos, and if he's buried sans tzitzis, so then, in other words, you're really making him feel bad that he's quote unquote missing out on such a big mitzvah.
Well, he cut them.
Yeah. So there is more. They're right. Is right. So isn't the minute to cut off the tzitzis? So.
Cut the strings, right.
Correct. So if you go on in Tosfos, we're not going to do this now. We have a daf to get through. But if you go on in Tosfos, notes that there are other Gemaras that seem to indicate that you shouldn't put tzitzis on, and Tosfos comes to an interesting compromise, so to say, in which we'll put tzitzis on him, but at the same time, however, we'll cut off one of the corners, and one of the strings on one of the corners, and that way you'll be buried with the talis, but without tzitzis, and we come out to this strange compromise. Discussion historically, an interesting discussion, and a debate historically as to whether or not one should do this suggestion of Tosfos of cutting off the corners or not cutting off the corners. Minhag Yisrael, I'll tell you, the Minhag Yisrael is that we do cut off the corners, although it has been a discussion over the course of time. Okay. Just a really, really interesting point within Tosfos regarding a mace and the concept of Log L'Rush. Okay. Let's continue with the Gemara. We are now on the very top of Samach Vav and Aleph as we start today's daf. Let's just say by word of introduction. Whenever we have a taros, whenever a mixture of Isser and Heter, so generally speaking, what do we say? So the principle, the guiding principle of what is a principle known as Bittel. Bittel is nullification. So if I have kosher and non-kosher, they get mixed together. So generally speaking, that if I have a majority of something which is kosher over that which is not kosher, so then the majority is going to win. In other words, this principle of Bittel Berov, we already get from going back to the Beis Din. In other words, when a Beis Din is making a decision regarding a case, whether it be a case of money or whether it be a case of capital punishment, corporal punishment, whatever the case is. So when you have a Beis Din, so how do we rule? We rule in favor of the majority. Okay, for a capital case, you need a stronger majority, but in other words, but basically a majority. So as long as you have more judges ruling in favor in one direction than over another direction, so that is going to be the determinant in terms of what is the outcome going to be. And when you have a Tarovus, when you have a mixture of Issa Vahetra, so basically it's the same story. In other words, I have the majority. The majority is going to be the determinant of what this mixture is. Is the mixture mutter? Well, if the majority of it is mutter, so then the mixture is mutter. If the majority of it is usser, then the mixture is going to be usser. And that what I just did was a gross oversimplification of Tarovus, of what happens when you have a mixture. You have to take two more things into consideration. One thing you have to take into consideration is, what if I have a mixture where one infused taste into the other? So when you have an infusion of taste, so even if, let's say, the item represents the majority, but if you're tasting that the other food that was introduced, well, you can't ignore the taste. So in other words, so when one is infusing taste into another, so this now demands me to consider that if the taste of something is usser, so then I'm not allowed to taste that which got mixed in. So there, a majority is not going to be sufficient. If I have two foods, one usser being one being mutter, and even if I have 51% of it mutter, but if 49% of it's usser and the taste, I can clearly taste in the 51%, so that's another consideration. So therefore, not only in that case do we have to negate the minority, we have to also negate the taste as well. And throughout the Gemara, we're going to be calling this Nosing Tam, meaning we're going to have to negate taste. How do I know if taste is negated? Well, I'm going to say something really simple and almost dumb, and that is, we'll taste it. We'll taste it. In other words, if you taste something and you taste the Isser, so now you know, oh, that's Isser. Now, of course, what I said is dumb, because, in other words, if you are tasting the Isser, so you just taste the Isser. And you don't get a yesher koach. And if you don't taste the yesser, so then you're fine. But you're basically playing Russian roulette. So there is a discussion in Chulin about maybe giving it over to a guy and having him taste it. Then the question, of course, is how do I know that what he say that he's being honest and what he's telling me is truthful? Or another option is to go with what the Gemara says elsewhere, which is shishim, meaning that when there's a ratio of 1 to 60, so now I know that the taste has been negated. And here is the origins of shishim. Meaning, when do I need bittel barov versus when do I need bittel b'shishim? So when there's no taste that's infused, so it's bittel barov. When there is a taste that's infused, so it's bittel b'shishim. And then there's one other consideration to take in the course of this Gemara, and that's what's called min b'mino. Meaning, if I have two foods that get mixed together, and they're of the same type. Now, hold on as I say the word right now really generically, but if they're the same type, it's what's called an alacha min b'mino. So under those circumstances, now I have Isser and I have Heter, and the Isser and the Heter are the same type. So then what? So then what is, generally speaking, what I said earlier. In other words, it's Bittel Barov. You just simply have a majority. However, there is an opinion of Rav and Shmuel, not discussed in today's daf. There is an opinion of Rav and Shmuel. There's an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, who says that b'min b'mino, it's Aser b'mashehu. That any amount is going to be Aser. Now, where does this come from? How do they arrive at this conclusion? It's an important discussion. It's not for today's daf. But in other words, min b'mino is also b'mashu. Rashi in today's daf says that, and it's a question of what the correct girsan Rashi is, but Rashi in today's daf says that that's the halacha that we're going to be following in the course of today's discussion. That min b'mino is also b'mashu. Now, that's not the accepted halacha, meaning that's not where we stand on min b'mino in terms of halacha l'maisa, but that is the assumption going into today's daf. So as a good bracket to today's daf, I will be saying numerous times in the next 30 minutes that min b'mino is also b'mashu. And in fact, that's true in today's daf. That's not true in terms of the halacha psuka. That's not true in terms of the accepted halacha. But in terms of today's daf, that is the assumption that we're going to be working with over the course of today's daf. Rashi over here writes that that is in fact the accepted halacha, and Tosos has a Tosos over here says that that's not accurate, that's not correct, and okay. But in other words, for our daf today, min b'mino is also b'mashu. Okay, and it could very well be, by the way, that the reason why it's also b'mashu in today's daf is because we're talking about Yai Nesach, and Yai Nesach could just simply be different. That could also be as well. But just so you should know, I'm going to say it a lot. I'll put this at the end of the daf today as well. But min b'mino is also b'mashu. But that's not the halacha. Okay. And there's one other discussion, one other introductory note to have over here with these gemaras, and that's the following. So far, before I get to the next point. So far, what do we have? If it's min b'sheino mino, if it's unlike tastes that get mixed together, so then it's benosin tam. If it infuses a taste, so then it's aser, and if it doesn't infuse a taste, it's going to be mutter. And again, you could instead of using the word nosin tam, you could use say shishim. But I'm going to speak like the Gemara today. I'm going to say nosin tam. Or what you could say is min b'mino is aser b'mashu. And again, that's the language of today's daf. That's what we're going to be hearing in today's daf. Okay. On top of that, when making the definition, the determination of what's min b'mino versus what's min b'sheino mino. So what's the easiest way to say it? The easiest way to say it is, how do I determine if it's like or if it's unlike? Taste. If it tastes the same, so that's min b'mino. And if it doesn't taste the same, that's min b'sheino mino. So let's say, for example, I got kosher wine and not kosher wine, they get mixed together. That's min b'mino. Right? If I have, because they both taste the same. If I have, let's say, orange juice and wine get mixed together, that's min b'sheino mino. That's the easiest way to say it. And the way I just described it, where taste is going to be the determinant of whether it's min b'mino, min b'sheino mino. So as we'll see in today's daf, that's a biased opinion. But Rava takes a position, which we're going to see in just a moment, which is really hard for me to explain, but it's Rava's position. And that is that taste is not the determinant of min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino, but rather shame. The name of something is going to be determinant of min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino. As long as it shares the same name, it's min b'mino. If it doesn't share the same name, it's min b'sheino mino. Now, why should name be the determinant in terms of definition of min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino? It's really hard. It's hard to articulate. It's hard to explain how name becomes a determinant factor. Taste is much easier to understand and to follow. But that is going to be also a big machlok. It's a big part of today's daf. With all that stated, so now, once you have all that down as your guiding principles for today's daf, truth of the matter is the rest of the daf is very easy. But we all have to know the basics. Chamra tika ba'anave. Different alcohol b'nosin tam. If let's say I have old wine, and it gets thrown on tops of grapes. Everyone's in agreement that's nosin tam. Right, the old wine has a distinct taste to it, and on top of that, it also is not grapes, meaning it's obviously by name something different as well. So old wine falling on grapes, it's different in taste and it's different also in name. So everyone's of the opinion now this is a case of min b'sheino mino, and therefore is the grapes going to be aser nisin is tam, meaning if the wine infused a taste into the grapes, and then it's going to be aser. And if it didn't infuse the taste into the grapes, then it's going to be mutter. That part's easy. And not only easy, but agreed to by everybody. However, but let's say I have grape juice. And when I say grape juice, by the way, I mean it's freshly pressed wine. Okay? For our purposes right now, we could call it grape juice. But in other words, it tastes like grapes. And now I have Chamra charata, new wine that falls on an oven. And the new wine here is going to be usher. By the way, also just a great rule in terms of following all these cases is that what I generally introduce is usher into the item that I'm introducing it to is going to be heter. That's how these cases normally play out. So if I'm now introducing new wine, or let's call it grape juice, onto grapes, so now, Abai Amar B'mashu, Rav Amar B'nosin Tam. So Abai says Mashu, Rav says Nosin Tam. Now, Abaye Amar Mashu, Basu Taim Azlina, Nidavi Dechataimahu. So you see, according to Abaye, in other words, what is going to be the determinant of whether it's Min B'mino versus Min B'sheno Mino? Taste. The grape juice tastes like grapes. Therefore, it's the same. It's min bimino, because that is the same taste. And therefore, since it's min bimino, it's oser b'mashu. Even any amount is going to be oser. Adahavale min bimino, o min bimino b'mashu. On the other hand, Rav Amar b'nosin tam. Rav is of the opinion that no, it follows the, this is a case of nisinas tam. Why? Baser shma azlinan. V'ayishma l'chud, v'ayishma l'chud. You see, we're going to be following the name, not the taste. What determines min bimino versus min b'sheino mino is what we call it. Since grapes are grapes and wine is wine, even if it's new wine, that's grape, that's wine. Those are two different names, even though they taste the same, and therefore it's min bimino. Therefore it's min b'sheino mino, and therefore b'sheino same tam. It's only going to be usher if it gives off a taste. Now, again, I'm sorry, let me just finish reading the sentence of the Gemara. And since it's min b'sheino mino, therefore it's no sin tam. Now, as I mentioned, Rava's position is just more difficult for me to explain and articulate. Why should what something called be the determining factor of whether it's min b'mino or min b'sheino mino? Abaye's position is so much easier to understand. Meaning if two things taste the same, that's min bimino. If two things don't taste the same, that's min b'sheino mino. In fact, the more you think about it, the more you realize the Abaye makes a lot more sense because what's the difference between min bimino versus min b'sheino mino? By min b'sheino mino, it's only going to be usher when I can taste it. Why if something is called be the determining factor of whether I can or I can't taste it?
So you don't have to taste it.
Right. It results. Rava's position results in a conclusion that's very strange. Right. Even though the two items taste the same, but because they're called by different things, therefore it's min b'sheino mino, and therefore no sin tam. But it's not introducing a new taste. It's the same taste. So admittedly, right. Thank God. I've gone through this daf once or twice. So it's always harder for me to articulate and to explain the position of Rava over that of Abaye. Abaye is just much more mistab, it's more easier for me to explain. There is a mitzvah to defend Rava's position, meaning Rava's position obviously it's part of the corpus of Torah, and generally speaking, Machlokes Abaye and Rava, we follow the position of Rava over that of Abaye, but in other words, it's always more of a challenge to explain Rava's position. It's hard to explain it. Again, we're talking. It's two different items, and with two different. Absolutely right, two different brachas, right? Right. In other words, okay, good. So that's great, that's great. But we're talking about tarovas. We're talking about a mixture, and we're talking about when bittul occurs and when bittul does not occur. So again, it's always easier to use taste as the guideline of whether it's min bimino versus min b'sheino mino. Okay, tanan. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Yainesek shenafal agabe anavim. I have yainesek that falls on grapes. Kasakadecha chamer charata banavi. So, now the Mishnah doesn't say what kind of wine it is. Let's assume for our purposes that it's new wine, fresh wine. Again, I'll just call it grape juice. Grape juice on grapes. So, my la benosin tam. So the Gemara says, now if that's true, so then, isn't the Isser created up to nosin tam? The Gemara says, la b'mashu. The Gemara says, yeah, but you may be right that it's talking about grape juice. But you know what? We know when it's usher. It's usher b'mashu, any amount. Hamizik tani sefazak kol kosher b'anosim b'nosin tam usher kol shein b'anosim b'nosin tam mutter mechlal de b'nosin tam askinan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you can't say that in our Mishnah. Meaning other places you could say that, but you can't say that in our Mishnah. Why not? Because our Mishnah clearly is talking about nesinas tam. Because our Mishnah says the haklal. This is a rule. If it provides taste, if it infuses taste, it's going to be asr. And if it doesn't infuse a taste, it's going to be mutter. Now, granted, by the way, that the Mishnah's point is really regarding nos and tam of gam, but still, the Mishnah clearly is operating with the principle of nos and tam. So the Gemara says, so if that's true, so now, isn't this a proof that because it's grape juice and grapes, and they go by different names, so therefore it's min b'shein omino. So you see, it's min b'shein omino, right? Abaye will say, I don't have to accept your original premise. Abaye will tell you that your original premise is wrong. Meaning you assumed that it was fresh wine, grape juice that fell on the grapes. No. I'm telling you that it's old wine that fell on the grapes. Old wine that falls on the grapes. They are two different tastes, and that's why, with two different tastes, it's min b'shein omino, and that's why it's only going to be also when it's nesinas tam. Okay. Chala dechamra v'chala deshichra. Let's say I have two different types of vinegars. A wine vinegar and a beer vinegar. Let's say I have two different types of wheat. I have, two different types of, I guess we call it yeasts. But the chamir dechit and chamir desari. One made up of wheat and one made up of barley. Okay, so basically, I have two different foods that get mixed up together. Same name, different tastes. So once again, here we go. It's machlokes between Abaye and Rava. So Abaye Amar Benosin Tam. So Abaye tell you, look, let's just talk about the vinegar. Vinegar is a lot easier for us to follow, right? We have wine vinegar and beer vinegar. Two different tastes. They get mixed together. Abaye will tell you, Tam. Now, in other words, Nosin Tam. This is Min B'Shein Omino. So Basu Tam Alzin V'Hai Tam L'Chud V'Hai Tam L'Chud V'Havli Min B'Shein Omino Min B'Shein Omino Benosin Tam. So Abaye will tell you, good. In other words, what is the determining factor regarding whether it's min b'mino versus min b'shein omino? Taste. There are two different tastes, therefore it's min b'shein omino. Rava amar b'mashuhu. And Rava will say, no. We're talking here about an isser mashuhu. This is a case of min b'mino. Basar shma azlina. That's vinegar and that's vinegar. I know that is wine vinegar. I know that is beer vinegar. I know they don't taste the same. But that's not the determining factor. The determining factor in terms of whether or not something is min b'mino is what's it called? That's vinegar, and that's vinegar. Therefore, it's min b'mino. V'ay chala mikre, v'ay chala mikre. V'ay chamira mikre, v'ay chamira mikre. V'avali min b'mino, v'chol min b'mino b'mashu. So therefore, it's a case of min b'mino, and therefore, it's going to be osur b'mashu. Okay. So, Gemara just simply amplifying, giving examples of what's min b'mino versus what's min b'shein omino. And again, really interesting machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye says taste is a determining factor. And Rava says that the name of something is the determining factor. I'm Rabbi Manami Nala Debasu Taim Azlina Detanya. Abaye says, look, let's try it this way. I know that taste is going to be the determining factor of whether something is min b'mino versus min b'shein omino. Let's take a look together at this Mishnah in Arla. The Mishnah in Arla says as follows. Beis v'gimel shemos v'hein min echad. O min gimel. Asur m'mitzarfim. So the Mishnah here is talking about using seasoning, using spices that come from Arla. Obviously, any fruit from a tree that comes off the first 3 years is also ba'achil, and it's also ba'ana. And so I'm now, let's say, I'll use Rashi's examples. Let's say I use different peppers, a black pepper, a white pepper, in order to provide seasoning for a food. However, the pepper coming off of a tree in the first 3 years is asr. In other words, that's Arla. And the white pepper by itself, I didn't put enough in order for it to properly season. I didn't put enough black pepper in. But in other words, but when I put the black and the white pepper together in the pot, it creates enough for seasoning. The Mishnah says, mitzarev, they combine. Now, one is black pepper, one's white pepper. Right? I send somebody to the store to get black pepper, and they come back with white pepper. I said, that's not what I asked for. I asked for black pepper. So they're different in name. Could I taste the difference between the two? Let's say no. I can't taste. In other words, they taste the same. The Mishnah in Arla says that as long as they taste the same, they're going to be mitzarev, they will combine. So over here, what have we just seen together in that Mishnah in Arla is that as long as something tastes the same, even though they might go by different names, they are part of the same family, and that is now going to be what's considered like foods. It's based on taste. So, the Amr Chizkiah, Hachabim, Minim, Sika, Askinan. Now, Chizkiah says that when learning that Mishnah Arla, that Mishnah and Arla, the spices go by different names, but they're all there to produce something sweet. Now, I know that my pepper example is not good now because we're talking about a sweetening agent and we're not talking about something that creates a salty taste to it. I do get that. I did give the pepper example because Rashi did. But it's still the point to say basically the same point. In other words, because they're there to provide the same kind of taste, therefore they're going to combine. What have we just learned together with the Mishnah Arla, with Chizkiah's explanation of that Mishnah Arla? Taste is a determinant. Taste is a determining factor in terms of whether something is min b'mino versus something which is min b'ishen amino. Hol v'ru l'matik b'hem esakadera. Since they're both used to sweeten the pot, so therefore they taste the same, and therefore they combine. Now, says the Gemara in defense of Abaye, in support of Abaye, so great, the Mishnah Arla, if taste is the determining factor, so the Mishnah Arla is beautiful. With Chizkiah's explanation, these different spices may be called by different names, but since they are there providing the same taste, so therefore it's mitzarif. But if you work with Rava, which what is the determining factor? Not the taste, but rather what it's called, the name of something. So that's white pepper, that's black pepper. There's two different types of peppers. And therefore they should not be mitzarif and they should not combine. And meanwhile, the Mishnah Arla says they do combine. Oh. So in other words, the Mishnah Arla, Kipshuto, and certainly with Chizkiah's explanation of that Mishnah Arla, so that Mishnah Arla seems to be a very strong support for Abaye. Rava, Arava Amalacha, Amani Rabbi Meir, Detani Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir, Minan L'chol Yisrim Shepetor Shem Mitzarif Min Zayim Zeh, Shenemar, Lo Socha Kol Nevela, Kol Shetiavta Lecha, Harehu, Beval Te'achel. What Rava said, we'll say to you is as follows. That Mishnah over there in Arla that you just quoted, that Mishnah is following a Das Yachid, a singular position, a position that's not accepted La'alach, and that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that when I have various different Yisurim, and they're unlike to one another, Rav Meir is of the opinion that they're all going to combine with one another, and they're all going to create a Hitzarfus of an Isser. The Torah says, Lo Se'achal Kol Toeva, and kol shetiavta lecha, anything the Torah says is abominable, which means anything the Torah prohibits, if I take any of those foods and put them together, they will combine, one with another. So that's the opinion of Rav Meir, and what Rava will tell you is that that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Meir, and Rashi points out, let's make this point very clear, obviously in order to say that you have to then not follow Chizkiah's understanding of that Mishnah Arla. Because Chizkiah said, oh, all the spices are there to sweeten the pot. In other words, if we're now saying this pshat in that Mishnah Arla, we're obviously not following the opinion of Chizkiah. Okay. So far what do we have now? Basically, that comes out from this entire Amud of Gemara. We know that there's a difference between min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino. By min b'sheino mino, it's only going to be also when it contributes to taste, min nesinas tam. By min b'mino, it's also b'mashehu, with any amount. And now, the question of what is the determinant, what's the definition of min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino? According to Abaye, taste. If two foods taste the same, that's min b'mino. If they don't taste the same, that's min b'sheino mino. And according to Rava, shame. The name of something is the determining factor. If they have the same name, it's min b'mino. If it's two different names, it's min b'sheino mino. Again, like I said earlier, it's harder to explain Rava, easier to understand Abaye.
Who was absent from this discussion is Rabbi Yehuda. It comes up the blood of the Yom Kippur.
Min b'mino. Min b'mino is also b'mashu.
Okay. Hashem, vinegar is vinegar, but this is apple vinegar or whatever.
Right, that was one of the examples. Right, it was one of the examples that the Gemara gave earlier. I'm telling you, that's one of the examples the Gemara gave earlier. That's a machlok shrina b'ayin rava. Okay, you'll listen. You'll listen earlier. You'll hear. Okay, chala lego chamra divra hakol benosin tam. Okay, vinegar goes into wine. Now, vinegar obviously is a byproduct of wine, meaning classically back in the day, the vinegar was basically wine that went sour. So if I have vinegar that goes into wine, divra hakol benosin tam. So now we have agreement between Abaye and Rava. Because not only are they dissimilar in taste, they're also dissimilar in name. So they both will agree now that this is dissimilar, it's min b'sheino mino, and therefore in Nesinas Tam. Okay, that part's easy. Chamer lego chala. But let's say I have wine that goes into vinegar. And again, like I say, every time you have one food getting introduced into another food, The Gemara assumes that the food that's getting introduced is yisur, and the food that there is mutter. So I have chamer lego chala. I have now wine that goes into vinegar. Abai amar b'mashu, Rav amar b'nosing tam. So Abai says that it's a mashu. Rava says it's benosin tam. What just happened over here? So chamer lego chala. Take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. So the bottom Rashi over here says the mishashi igia la avir hakli. Because what happens is that when the wine hits the airspace of the kli, nepa chayim berecha larecha chometz. So what happens, and again, you don't have to challenge me on, in terms of the science of this over here, and whether this is accurate or not accurate. In other words, we're much more interested in the concept over here that the Gemara is communicating to us. When the wine hits the airspace of the vinegar, so now that wine, basically the smell of the wine becomes a vinegar type smell, says Rashi. The So that means now that before the wine actually hits the vinegar, so the wine over here splits into two. Now what I mean by that is as follows. If I were to taste the wine at that moment in time, it would taste like wine. If I would smell the wine at that moment in time, it smells like vinegar. And now here comes a next layer of discussion in the Gemara, and that is that if I have a separation of taste and smell, now, you know, I do study this a little bit, and generally speaking, taste follows smell. And so it's, generally speaking, you're not going to have something that tastes one way and smells a different way. But for the purpose of this discussion, let's keep it nice and simple, where the two get separated, taste and smell get separated. So now, under those circumstances, what is going to be the determining factor? So, chamer lego chala, Abai amar b'mashu, Rav amar b'nosin tam. Abai amar b'mashu, Abai says that it's going to be iser mashu. Why? Because recha chala, v'tayma chamer, chala, v'tayma chamer chala, v'avale min b'mina v'chol min b'mina b'mashu. Because, again, working with this assumption, that as the wine is entering into the barrel of the vinegar, so it tastes like wine, but it smells like vinegar. So now, So the according to Rava, the smell of it is going to be the more significant aspect to it, and therefore this is now going to be a case of min bimino, meaning even though it's wine, even though it's wine, and even though it tastes like wine, but now since its smell has adopted that of that which it's about to go into, and since its smell is vinegar, now this is a case of min bimino, and since it's a case of min bimino, it's also b'mashu. Okay, Ben, ask your question, because I know what you're going to ask, and it's going to be really good. Yeah, go ahead.
Rava follows the name, and here the name has been changed.
So again, now, right, I'm just going to reiterate what Ben is saying, because what Ben is saying now, it's interesting and it's difficult, because on the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, the entirety of the Daf, Rava says the determinant of Min Mimino versus Min B'Sheino Mino is name. Now, in this Gemara over here, he says that if you have something smelling the same, so that is going to be that's going to be considered a Min Bimino example, and therefore it's also B'Mashu. Okay. What he's raising is a really good point. I don't have a prepared answer. I saw that coming, so okay. It's a really good point. And Rava Amar Benosin Tam. So the Rava Amar Benosin Tam. So Recha Chal V'Tam Achamer Chamba V'Avli Min B'Sheinu Min V'Chol Min B'Sheinu Mino Benosin Tam. And Abai will tell you no. In other words, we're talking about wine going into vinegar. It's wine, and not only is it wine, it tastes like wine. Okay, maybe it adopts the smell of the vinegar as it's going in. But it's wine. It tastes like wine. Taste is going to be the more determining factor. So for Abaye, we're good, by the way. Abaye has been consistent throughout. Meaning Abaye and the Amud Aleph said that taste is a determining factor. And on the Amud Beis, Abaye still maintains that even when there's a discrepancy between taste and smell, taste is going to be the determining factor. So for Abaye, we're good.
And unless you could argue that Rava is saying that since it changes taste, becomes like vinegar, its name also changes.
I hear your suggestion. You know, I'd offer a similar suggestion. I have to, you know, I don't know if I'm gonna, you know, if I'm gonna, you know, it, whatever. It's really interesting. And let's finish off today with the following. Hay bastiye ovekochavim b'Yisrael. Shapridami. Shapridami. So I'll tell you what. Recha milsa, recha lav milsa. Let's hold that off for tomorrow. It's its own independent sugya. And if the truth of the matter is, it leads well into tomorrow's daf. So let's leave recha off for today. Okay, today's daf. Two major concepts in terms of Tarovis. The concept of Nosin Tam Levgam, which was introduced to us by the Mishnah and explored a little bit on the end of Samach Hamad Beis. And the beginning of today's daf, Samach Vav Amin Aleph, we talked about Min Bemino versus Min B'Sheino Mino. Min Bemino is Osir B'Mashu. And again, let me just reiterate what I said in the beginning of Shir today. Our Gemara today, throughout the entirety of the Gemara today, assume that Min Bemino is Osir B'Mashu. Rashi says that's the halacha. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with his grandfather, and the halacha does not follow, and the halacha falls like Rabbeinu Tam, that Min Bemino is not Osir B'Mashu, but rather, in other words, either Rov or Nesinas Tam. But in other words, it's not Osir B'Mashu. Rashi, however, takes the position that Min Bemino is Osir B'Mashu. And Rashi says that on today's daf. Tosus in the beginning of today's daf goes quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. But anyway, for our...
Is it Midoraita versus the Rabbanan, that concept, right? Min Bemino, that's...
I said in the beginning of Shir today, it could be that our entire Gemara today assumes Min Bemino is Osir B'Mashu, simply because we're talking about Yai Nesach. It could be that's the guideline throughout today's daf. But in any event, the Gemara over here talks about Min Bemino versus Min B'Sheino Mino. Min Bemino is Osir B'Mashu. Min B'Sheino Mino is Osir B'Nesinas Tam. And then the big debate on the Amud Aleph of today is what is the determinant of Min Bemino versus Min B'Sheino Mino? Abai says taste. Rava says name. The Gemara explored both positions, supported Abai's position, and still defended Rava's position. In terms of halacha, I'll do that a little more tomorrow. And then as we turn to the Amud Beis, we talked about what happens if there's a differentiation between smell and taste. If a food smells like one but tastes like another, then what are we looking towards? So Rava says we look towards the smell, and Abaye says no, we still look at taste. Meaning Abaye, throughout the daf today, says that taste is the determinant of what is the definition of something.